Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Feeling Lighter podcast by WeShape, where we shed old beliefs one episode at a time. Those beliefs that no longer serve us. We're ready to let those go. And the bottom line here is how you feel about yourself changes everything. So I'm Katie. I'm one of your co-hosts. I'm here with Dr. Lisa Folden. Lisa, I'm really excited today about this guest and about just the topic today is going to be healing our relationship to self through community.
Yes.
And I think sometimes I feel like community is really, I don't know, undervalued in a lot of ways and sort of brushed aside. And it was funny. I'll just share a quick personal story. Over the weekend, I woke up and I was having so much anxiety and I was like, I don't even know why I'm anxious. And I was sat with myself for a minute. I said, what do you need today to get your body and mind in a different space? And ironically, I set up a play date with my children's friends. So there were all these kids at my house. We went on a hike together. We had a shared a meal together and they were laughing and connecting. And they weren't my friends. They were my children's friends. But I sat in this exchange of community. Mm-hmm. And I remember walking away from that day feeling a lot different and going, it was that community piece. And then I was thinking about this episode coming up. I was like, oh, this is what we're talking about. That's like, this is what it can, this is what it can do. This is how it can be so supportive. So anyway, I'm excited to talk about it. So do we want to start with the bio?
Yes, I'm super excited for this conversation. Today we have with us Amanda and Zara. Amanda and Zara are childhood friends from Jamaica who in their college years discovered a shared passion for honest conversations about body image and mental health. Seeking a place to connect with others while recovering from an eating disorder, Amanda first started the Unplug Collective as an open format blog where anyone struggling with body discrimination, mental health, or eating disorders could share their stories. Since then, the Unplugged Collective has evolved into a dynamic online community that features educational content, community conversations, brand campaigns, and more. That's pretty impressive for college students.
Yes. Incredible.
I love that.
Welcome, Amanda and Zara.
Hi. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We're really excited to dive into a little bit more about the Unplugged Collective. Maybe share a little bit more context about the journey. I know we read a little bit there, but how did you both get here today and doing this work?
So I started Unplug in 2019 in my freshman year of college. I personally was struggling with anorexia, but I'd never heard anorexia being discussed with weight or like I guess plus size bodies being included. I just thought anorexia meant you were like emaciated. So when I got the diagnosis, I was like, is this real or are you making this up? But it actually checked out, and I think being able to heal from it or even to be able to process it, I was like, I don't think I can process this alone. I think I need more people to share what they're going through from an eating disorder lens, but also from a mental health lens. I just want there to be a space where if anyone else is going through this, if anyone else has been recently diagnosed with something that they don't understand, and like the only places that they're looking, especially from like a psychological standpoint or an educational standpoint, are talking about one specific type of person, then like we need to change that, and we need to change it quickly. And I think being in college was such a good opportunity because I could visibly see that lots of people were struggling in different ways, but it felt like on social media we were just seeing, you know, pictures of highlight reels and fun things that were happening, and I was like, what a great opportunity to use social media to actually push forward some of these conversations. I think in context, this was 2019, this was before the pandemic, so people weren't really using social media in this way at all. I think it was actually quite odd for a lot of people close to us, in our family and our friends, to be like, how are you being so vulnerable in this way on such a public forum and a public platform? But it pretty much took off like immediately because I think people were excited by such a vulnerable conversation being had. I mean, it was things like being anorexic in a plus size body. It was issues of gender and ability and size. And it was just this open forum that wasn't asking you to feel positive. It was just asking you to feel something and share.
Wow. That's really powerful. What about you, Sarah?
I mean, I think Amanda covered
so much.
Yeah, I think us as a team, I mean, we've been friends since we were in, I think, seventh grade in Jamaica. And we just so happened to end up at the same college. And so when we both ended up there and Amanda started Unplug, it just sort of became this very, very organic partnership that worked super well. Because I've been passionate about these issues for a long time, and you know, was part of a club in high school called the Body Project that dealt with all of this. So I was exposed in this sort of more, I don't know how you'd say, maybe more of like a formal setting of running club meetings and leading discussions about body image and mental health. And so when that synergy happened, both from like a passion standpoint of how we had been exposed to these issues, but also from a friendship standpoint and how we have totally different minds. I'm a little bit more like, you know, analytical, organizational, that kind of stuff. And I'm this very big picture, creative. And when we came together and I sort of joined on to Unplug as the second in command at first, we just took off from there. I mean, we were able to start really getting an influx of stories, doing a lot of educational content. We had a whole team at one point. Everybody was in college. None of us were getting paid. It was all volunteer work. But we were all just so, one, passionate about the issue, but two, saw how powerful it was, that the effort that we were putting into building this community and creating a space where people could share what they were going through and relate to one another, how much of an impact that was having. And that was more than enough to keep us going and drive us to continue the work.
So the intention behind the network was for people to come together and share hard stories, connect, and really just get real with one another. Do I have it right?
Yeah, exactly.
So the power in vulnerability and community and what that can do for one's own journey.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah, and I think... Go ahead.
At the time, I was majoring in gender studies at Barnard College, and I was reading a lot of memoirs of just people writing their first-person story in book form and how powerful that is. Like, regardless of what mainstream media is saying, you can go back through history and find just personal stories of people sharing really vulnerable things. But because we are moving a bit away from that format, I felt like, why not turn that memoir kind of personal storytelling into just a platform where that's just a regular thing that happens. And I think at the time too, a lot of these journalism sites and stuff were not first person. So I think that was a really big thing for us, is like, this isn't an op-ed. This isn't like about your opinion, how you feel about bodies. And I think still bodies are so politicized, and even just having these conversations about what it means to just exist usually does turn into a debate here, there, or somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so we really just wanted to get away from that and make people feel like, this is your body, you can show up and talk about it, but talk about it from like, this is what I'm going through, as opposed to making kind of blanket statements about the experience.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was gonna say. We just like, especially in the liberal arts college space, you're getting a lot of think pieces, for lack of a better word, right, from everyone around you. And it's sort of infused with their personal experience, but stated in such a way that this is my big opinion about this topic. Mm-hmm. And that is one thing that we've really gone for. Like, you don't need to even have an opinion or a stake in this from a political standpoint. You don't need to wrap this up with a pretty bow and a conclusion to tell why your story relates to this whole issue, broad issue, the whole world. Like, there's no pressure to do that. Just talk about something that's happened to you and how you felt about it, and that's more than enough. And I think that was part of the reason why the response was so strong from our college community at first, is because nobody's really used to doing that. Everybody's so used to having to turn their opinion into something really like deep and profound, and you're trying to say something about the world, and you don't really have to do that. You can just say like what you've gone through and how you felt, and yeah, and so we got a really strong response as a result of that. So it's also really powerful stuff.
I really like that. Amanda, you mentioned something when you were talking about your journey to creating this. You said that in trying to understand this diagnosis that you had been given, and thank you, you know, for sharing that. Obviously, that's very vulnerable of you. But you said that the resources weren't there. You hadn't really heard of someone in a plus size body having this diagnosis. And I really would love, I would love for you to speak to that, that piece there, and why it was important, and in the context of how important it was to create community around that idea. Because if you don't see it, it's hard to believe it, and it's hard to make sense of it. And you know, and I know, when if you type eating disorder or anorexia, a very specific demographic pops up, and they don't look like you or like me or like many people. And so I think it's really important to kind of talk about why the forging of your community was significant for that.
Yeah, I think just as human beings, we need to connect with other people who are going through similar experiences to help process it, or help process what we're going through. I don't know the exact, you know, psychological science behind it, but I do know that there's something about like putting a word to something or a face to something or an experience to something that has just statistically shown to make an experience more digestible for the person. I think that while there's a lot of conversation about plus size bodies, a lot of it has to do with feeling positive about those bodies or feeling confident, and all of these things that actually have nothing to do with the deep psychological issue that is an eating disorder. And I think that eating disorders, while they often do have to do with weight, they are first and foremost a coping mechanism. They're similar to like substance abuse or any form of coping that, you know, takes place. They're not all rooted in weight. There's so many other things that come into play when you are thinking about anorexia. In my case, anxiety, control issues, wanting to control situations, especially in college, especially for people I think who are not white, for lack of a better word, who are at the whim of social and systemic issues. Of course, there's going to be a large amount of those people who need to cope, or who are grasping at like ways of coping. So I think the more research you do, the more you realize like this is actually a pretty common thing. Yeah. And we live in a world that is extremely encouraging of disordered eating. Yeah. And so, yes, maybe some people don't have it, don't have an eating disorder. They don't have or present as many symptoms as an eating disorder. And I felt like my symptoms were so bad, were so extreme. And I've been encouraged kind of to be on diets, to be like, to control my body for so long. I mean, like maybe younger than the average person, I was like put on my first diet at a very, very young age. And so one, I was like actively being told like, go on these juice diets, go on these fasts, do this, do that. I was not taught that much about nutrition. And so this was just the only way. Like I didn't have an alternative. And then when like pretty much every institution is telling you, good job, like you've lost X amount of pounds, yeah, you're doing great, from like teachers to friends to like pretty much everything, why would there be another way? So I think that is really what drove me to want to talk about this, is like there is an alternative. There is an alternative where you can actually get support, you can actually be nourished. Your body may change. You may not be able to quote unquote control your body in the way that society is asking you to, but on the other end of that is like just so much freedom. And also when you're able to get into it from like a psychological perspective, it's not just, oh, I can fit into these clothes versus that. It's things like, I can be at peace. Like, I don't have to be constantly obsessing over like what I'm wearing, what I'm eating, what I'm thinking, what I'm, you know. So there's just so many benefits, but I guess to sum it all up and to wrap it all up is just, when you are constantly being told by the world that something is good for you, that also is terrible for you and is actually making you sick,
yeah,
it's very hard to get out of that or to get free of that. And I think the only way you can is to try and change the mainstream narrative in some way. And I think that we kind of successfully have, not just Unplug, but like body liberation activists in general, have tried to create this kind of second tier or almost this second voice, that when you do naturally think like, oh, maybe I should restrict, maybe I should diet, maybe I should do all of these things, there's a second tier that's like, no, but your body matters, your body is good, you're okay. I think right now with like the rise of Ozempic and just generally the conversation where it's at, I think we're taking two steps backward, but I think that happens in general with a lot of issues. So,
I mean, I want to talk about, you know, I think what you're doing is you're giving people a platform that says your story is safe here, and the inner dialogue that is counter to what our mainstream dialogue is okay. And I think there is so much power in kind of like what you're saying. Like, I don't have to come to the table with this bigger purpose of what I'm trying to say. I don't have to come knowing all the answers. I don't have to come with even evidence to prove my case. I can just be and feel safe to share. And I think that that is what we're talking about when we're talking about healing our these parts of ourselves through a community. Because when we can get that validation through someone else's experience and someone else's story, we feel more understood ourselves. Absolutely. And that's a step closer to ourselves. And that is really hard to find a group of people who can hold you up as you counter the narrative that is everywhere, right? So I just commend the work that you both are doing at such a young age. It's so inspiring. I'd love to know if there is a particular story from your community that has resonated with you, that has just like, oh, I think about that story a lot.
I can take this one. I think the first story that was ever written for Unplug was one called I Was Proud of My Bronchitis. And we've been asked this question before, and this is always the story that comes back to my mind. It was an anonymous writer. And it was essentially a story about how this person developed bronchitis and lost a lot of weight as a result of it. They were sick for a long time. And the weight loss completely changed how everyone around them responded to them. I mean, all of a sudden, it's like these doors were opening and these light bulbs were turning on, where people were receiving them with a lot more positivity and complimenting them, and all of these things, you know, the carpet started to roll out. And so this person was like, you know, this illness that I have where I'm literally sick, I mean, I'm busy all the time, I'm coughing, I'm like all of these symptoms that they describe, like I was suffering so much physically, and yet no one cared. No one saw that. And even if there was no drive to notice, there wasn't anything even prompting anybody to be asking those questions, because all they saw was the weight loss. Mm-hmm. All they saw was, you now look the way I want you to, and I'm going to reward you for that despite what brought you there. And that being the first story that we ever shared, I think it sort of dug this special place into my heart, because it really gets at such a big part of this issue, where somehow we have decided as a society that what people look like and how closely people are to the way that we think they should look, or what looks the best, trumps everything else. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you did to get there. We've like warped this thing. We've almost come to a place where we believe, like a lot of people truly believe that that is the best thing that you can do for yourself, is to look a certain way, regardless of the cost. And I was always so grateful for that person sharing their story, and admitting to the fact that they were proud
of it,
of their sickness. I think that's the part that really, really struck me, was the honesty in that.
That
you
is
know, there honest. Wasn't, there wasn't, they weren't trying to say, oh, and I am ashamed, and oh, I shouldn't have done that, or oh, I, nothing. They were just like, that's the truth. That's my reality. And I think a lot of people do experience that, unfortunately. We've had other stories, similar stories about people who, you know, their medication that they were taking, that, you know, this is sort of the flip side, but they're taking a medication that's saving their life or is making them not sick, and it's causing them to gain weight, and then they see the opposite effect, right? And I think those kinds of stories have always been the ones that really sink it in deep for me.
And it gives you a lot to unpack there, because it reminds you that this quest that we're on, you know, for health, is really not health. It's like we're on this quest for aesthetic, a look, because of what society tells us. So I think it's beautiful that you all have created this community to have the discussions and to just bring some of these things to light, because that, without that person, like you said, saying, I feel bad about this, or I shouldn't have felt that way, they don't need to do that. Just listening to the story, we're all going to be impacted in a way that's meaningful to us. And so I think that's a very, very cool concept that you all have created.
And, you know, it's funny. It makes me think about at WeShape, we have these We Connect calls where members come in and just talk about their experience or let us know how their day is going. And I try to remind all the team members here, listen, our job, like if somebody comes in and says, I really want to lose weight, it's, yeah, we do have like maybe a different path that might be better serving, but it's not really our job to point them in any direction. It's our job to hold space. Like if we really truly want to have community, in my opinion, that looks like a space that's safe, that's non-judgmental, that doesn't tell people how or what to do. It's just holding space. And we are not taught to do that in our culture. We are taught, go this way, do it this way. You should. And so, yeah, do we have a different path that's not focusing on weight loss and diets? We do. But if somebody comes in and they want to talk about that, they're welcome. It's really about shifting, because here's the thing, when we're stuck in diet and exercise culture and we're telling people all the shoulds, and then we swing the pendulum and say, okay, now we're not in diet culture anymore and we're telling you shouldn't, right? It's the same thing wrapped in a different package.
Exactly.
So your example of creating this community where it's just to hold space, and the fact that you created an environment where people felt safe enough to talk about those parts, I think this is what human beings are really seeking. Can the parts of me that feel maybe ashamed connect with the parts of you that maybe also feel that? And can we see that we're all just human beings? I think that that's really important.
That's good. Yeah.
So I also want to know, like, how can we support this movement, like as a community? Is it doing what I was talking about in terms of like practicing non-judgmental listening skills? Is it, I don't know, if you have any sort of takeaways for our listeners today, I'd love to know what you think about that.
I think there are a number of things that you can do. I want to preface by saying no one is going to get it right. Right? Like the whole idea behind how we approach all of this is like there's no... And relates to what you were just saying, is you can't then swing to the opposite way where you're saying, oh, well, we can't talk about dieting ever again, or feel negatively about our bodies ever again, or even have a negative impact on somebody else based on our own biases that we have. I think the best that everybody can do is to practice and take those small moments to self-reflect, where you feel things coming up. That may be something very personal, So, you know, maybe you are having feelings about your body on a particular day, or something comes up in terms of how you relate to food. And it's sort of a similar thing with meditation, how the point is to just sort of let your thoughts pass and observe them. And I know that that's a difficult thing for a lot of people to do, for good reason. But it's a similar approach, right? Like,
we'll be back in just a moment.
As a reminder, the Feeling Lighter podcast is a part of WeShape, a fitness app that is taking a very different approach. And I wanted to let everyone know about our upcoming Best Moves for You masterclass that WeShape is hosting that you can sign up for free. Take a look at weshape.com/class or click the link in the show notes.
And now back to the Feeling Lighter podcast.
Just try to observe. Try to observe what your thought patterns are. How are you responding to things? How are you treating other people? And I think reflecting goes a long way, even just to recognize, like, okay, how might I be impacting, you know, my relationships with other people? For example, if you have a young person in your life, a child in your life, you know, how do you respond when that child, you know, I don't know, for example, wants to eat a second or a third slice of cake? What do you feel toward that, first of all? What are your feelings that come up? And then secondly, how do you see yourself wanting to respond to that situation? And then just gradually over time, like, find those small moments where you can relate to somebody in a different way, or relate to yourself in a different way. Instead of restricting, maybe you try a different approach, but the key thing being, you're not going to get it right all the time. There isn't really, like, I don't even know what getting it right would mean.
Like, lower the expectation.
Lower the expectations, bring yourself and other people down off the pedestal. We're all just trying to swim through the world and figure it out. And so I think if we were less judgmental of ourselves all the time, that trickles down to everything else. And I think that active listening also comes into play with that, of just this trying every day, this practice of non-judgment when it comes to everything, your thoughts, your actions, your relationships. And that goes a long way.
I love that. Go ahead, Amanda.
I'll just add on to that. I think that was, like, a lot of the internal, like, self-regulation stuff. But I would say there is a lot of regulating that has to be done as well with the external and just external stimuli, because this is everywhere, from, like, comments from family to from, like, in medical institutions to, like, fitness institutions. If you even want to engage in exercise, you're going to hear, like, diet culture language. It's just impossible to escape. So I think holding firm on boundaries that you may not even really have for yourself yet. Like, I think sometimes I have, like, a notes app where I'm like, these are the things, this is how I want to move through the world, exactly how Zahra said, in this very non-judgmental way. And if I feel like other people aren't really upholding that same standard that I want to have for myself, like, where can I create some kind of boundary? Whether that's just saying, like, I would like to not be weighed today, or I would like to be blind weighed, or I would not like to talk about food and body with you because I'm talking about it with my eating disorder therapist, or you know, in whatever ways that you can, because there is a misconception a little bit that people have of just, like, well, you, like, people who decide to practice this a very non-judgmental way of talking about their body are just in a la-la land about health, or they just don't care. But actually, if you really look at the research, there are literally, like, no benefits to harmful language about bodies. There are no benefits to that.
Right.
So I think once you can recognize that, like, any wellness or even health goals that you're after are not going to come to you more because you're being mean and harsh and horrible to yourself, and they're not going to come to you more from being shamed or guilted by other people. So you can continue to set that boundary. And I actually, in my experience, have come so much closer to institutions that actually do care about my health holistically when I'm able to kind of go away from institutions that clearly are like, no, you should do this or that, which like almost inevitably do harm me in some way.
Absolutely. I think what you're highlighting here is that, yes, the mainstream might not be talking about the things that we're talking about today, but we can set boundaries for ourselves in any way that we can. It's not going to be avoidable, but there is still help. There's people like you both leading amazing groups and endeavors that are offering a new type of platform. So people are out there and are ready to talk about these things in a different way and connect with our bodies and ourselves in a different way. So before we let you go, though, I need to ask the Feeling Lighter podcast big question. So what is an old belief that you have shed that has impacted your life in a big way?
I can go first on this one. I would say you don't have to have a plan.
I kind of got chills with that one.
That one hit me kind of hard.
Yeah.
We're the planners over here.
I'm very much a planning-oriented person. You know, I was telling you earlier, I'm very, you know, organized. And I am the person that plans a vacation and has the spreadsheets. And like that's sort of what I always tend toward and how I've always been. When I graduated from college, I decided that my plan after graduation was to not have a plan.
Wow.
And I, in the midst of everyone applying for jobs, I decided I was just going to move to Canada and bartend or find a job somewhere and then kind of go from there. And I ended up working at a restaurant. The details don't matter. I worked at a restaurant for about a year. And I'm now working at a gym, like a luxury fitness gym. And it couldn't be like a more perfect situation. And I think what I learned from the process was that there's something really profound that happens when you let go and you say, I'm going to intentionally allow my intuition to guide me along this path. And just sort of trust what happens and trust myself to be able to navigate something without like, oh, like, what's my 5-year plan? What are my career goals? Like, who am I emailing today? And I think that applies in almost every area of life. And I'm not knocking plans, you know, I'm a planner. So there's definitely a utility to them.
Yeah.
But, I just think there's something really important that you learn when you don't have one. And the same can be said for exercise, for nutrition. You know, everything that I see on Instagram or online about exercise is like, if you don't go to the gym with a plan, you're not going to make any progress. And that different versions of that kind of rhetoric. And earlier this year, I really wanted to start exercising again. I hadn't been exercising for quite a while. And I just felt really nervous. I was like, but what am I going to do? Like, I don't know what all of these different machines are. I'm nervous. I don't know what I'm capable of. How much weight am I supposed to lift when I do certain exercises? I just don't know. I have no context. And my initial answer to that was to make a giant spreadsheet with every single exercise under the sun.
Wow.
Every single exercise under the sun. And I was gonna make, you know, group them by body parts and see like what kind of weights I wanted to use for everything. That was what I did try to do at first. And then one day I was just like, this is ridiculous. From here on out, my only goal, my only plan is to just show up, just go and try some stuff. Try a new exercise I haven't tried before. Push myself, use a new machine. You know, for example, I hate running on the treadmill. Let me run on the treadmill. Let me just see. Like, maybe I like it, maybe I won't. It was just this period of exploring.
Mm-hmm.
And that was only able to happen because I went into it being like, I'm just scrap the plan for now. Mm-hmm. that can come at a later time when I feel a little bit more confident, I feel a little bit more trust in myself, I have more knowledge and understand my abilities a little bit more. But yeah, it was just like this magical door that opened up where all of a sudden I was doing movements with my body that like I'd never really seen anybody do, and I've never been taught in a traditional exercise setting. You know, my algorithm started feeding me some really like interesting and exercise movements. I was like, ooh, this is so cool. I've never seen this stuff before. And yeah, I think all of it just to say, you can unlock something very profound when you learn to just trust yourself and go into something with that sort of exploratory mindset. And I'm actually just here to learn and absorb. I'm not here to achieve or to progress or climb up, you know, certain amount of rungs on the ladder. I'm not here for that. I'm just gonna soak this in, experience it, and then maybe I can plan after that once I've learned my lessons. So yeah, I'd say that's mine.
I think that's wisdom. That's
absolutely
good. And intuition. I love
that. We'll have to talk about that more as planners. Amanda, what about you?
She's very wise. I think mine is actually kind of similar in that I learned to trust my intuition, but I think more so I learned to not make everything into a crisis or like catastrophize. Because I am such like a fixer of everything. Mm-hmm. Like I think that is very much my personality. Both like in work and in like relationships, I'm always like, this is the problem. And this is how we need to fix it right now. And I think the issue with that is that like nothing is that simple. And so maybe it's like a product of just like hyper-achieving, like the culture that we have of productivity. Like I'm not really sure, but like I would constantly be like, oh, well, something is going wrong. I need to fix it. Like, is there like something bad in a relationship? Or like, is there, you know, something's not really working out well in school? Or like, I need to fix, what can I do to fix? Should I like apply to this? Should I get like just this relationship that I had with myself where I was just always needing to like fix and improve. Yeah. And I think I learned this year, like things hit the fan multiple times. And I guess it's like just a natural trajectory of post-grad. But every single time that something has hit the fan and something has been kind of unimaginable, like I can't believe that this thing is happening, it always like went back to being okay. Like there was never a time where a difficult time period didn't end. And so I think getting really comfortable with like the fact that there are seasons in life and not trying to kind of swim my way out of them. Just like, this is what's going on right now. What can I learn from this? And like, what is my, yeah, what's the lesson? And I guess that's easier said than done. And maybe it sounds a little bit abstract, but there's just always going to be something. As long as we're living, there is always going to be an issue and a problem. And I think what I let go of is that this problem means that I'm doing something wrong or I need to fix or I need to improve, as opposed to like, this is just what's happening. And you can try to do every which thing you want. You can't actually control all of the external variables, and that's okay. It's going to teach you something, you're going to learn something, and you're going to end up better for it in some way, shape, or form.
Wow. I mean, both of you are giving me lots of hope for the future generations.
I'm so proud.
Yeah, this is really fabulous stuff. So I'd love to let our listeners know where they can find you both. Where can they find Unplug Collective?
At the Unplug Collective on Instagram. We are on a bit of a break, but, you know, season. So we'll be in bloom at some point again. So definitely follow. And I think what's really exciting about Unplug is it's just a plethora of information. So even when we're not actively posting, you can still find the stories on unplugcollective.com, and you can still engage with the community.
Absolutely. We respect your season of break time. Yes. And I still think your social and your website have still so much past content to offer. So I'd love for our listeners to check that out. thank you both again. Such a pleasure to speak with you. And we will see all of our listeners next week.
Hey, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
It was great talking to you guys.
Thank you so much for listening, and we hope you enjoyed today's show. Now, before you go, it would mean a lot to us if you could take a moment right now to subscribe to the podcast and then leave us a review. This helps spread the word so more people can feel lighter by shedding one belief at a time. Also, we want to hear from you. So if this episode impacted you or you have any questions that you think would be great for us or any of our future guests, please feel free to email us at podcast@weshape.com. And finally, if you want to try WeShape's different approach to health and fitness, remember that right now you can sign up for WeShape's Feel Good Challenge and get access to everything WeShape has to offer for free. Just click the link in our podcast description or go to weshape.com/challenge to sign up.